You're listening to the Overeaters Anonymous Mid-Peninsula podcast. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. For more information, please visit oamidpeninsula.org.
So I'm Sandra, and I'm a food addict and compulsive overeater. And it's really good to be here, although I'm a little bit nervous. And, when those kind of things, when emotions come up, I have to remember who's in charge. And that's my higher power, you know, and I'm among friends. So, I get to talk about relationships. And, you know, relationships for me is just as unmanageable as the food was. And right now I'm working step 10, but step 8 and 9, they were just humdiggers. And so I want to share my experience with you. I'm going to start off by just reading a paragraph so we'll all be on the same page. And it's the first paragraph of step 8. And step 8 is made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. So in steps 8 and 9 are concerned with personal relationship. First, we take a look backwards and try to discover where we had been at fault. Next, we make a vigorous attempt to repair the damage we had done. And third, having thus cleaned out the debris of the past, we consider how, with our newfound knowledge of ourselves, we may develop the best possible relations with every human being we know. Boy, that is quite a undertaking. And I think what really got me totally involved in it is that we're looking backwards and not forward. And I think it's, you know, I have a tendency to look forward and to forget, you know, the past. So, I'm not new to how OA, so I want to talk a little bit about, you know, last time I was here, actually Sherry had invited me and I was working the program, the 90-day OA, and I shared quite a number of times. And it always felt good to share my progress with abstinence. And that was the physical part of it. And I just felt like I had achieved so much and I was so, you know, happy to be a part and to service in that way. And now, I always remembered this group because it had a lot of energy to it, a lot of, you know, good karma, if you will. And so when I was sharing, I really said to myself, you know, I think maybe one of these days I might join that group. And sure enough, here I am one of these days. And, you know, and so approximately about 2 years now, I'll be doing the How OA program. And I got to tell you, it's not easy. It's simple, but it's just not easy. And I was thinking about what makes it so hard. And what makes it hard is the lack of desperation. You have to be desperate to do this program. And that's my understanding and feeling, that you have to be desperate. And your life has to be totally unmanageable, and you have to know that. Because why else would you surrender? And so that's what I had to kind of learn again. And coming back into the program, well, into this, not coming back, but into this program, was that moment of desperation for me. So let me just start too by saying when I first came into OA, I was like over 200 pounds. And now down to I kind of ranged between 132, 129. So, and this has been my weight for 30 years. It's been pretty amazing. God has really blessed me, you know, in putting down the food and being released from the obsession of the food. Now, as far as the obsession and compulsion with the mind, that was pretty, it's still going on. It's not something that is just gone away. And so that's why one of the reasons I call myself a food addict is by my definition, that, you know, a food addict is someone who is addicted, is, you know, to food, certain types of food. And that's exactly what I am. So one of the reasons that this group was so attractive to me is that it's structured. You know, I eat three meals a day, nothing in between. I weigh and measure my food, you know, and I talk to my sponsor about my food. And I found that this works. I have to weigh my food out. Otherwise, I don't stop. And I don't care if it's sugar-free food or, you know, it's the behavior. Food addiction is really very important, and I have to recognize that the addiction before I take the first bite. Before I take the first bite, I'm already in addictive behavior. So I have to stop, really, and pray and ask God to help me. Most of the times, I'm not in thinking about food, but of course, there's always going to be times to think about it, you know? I mean, that's what a food addict does. We spend our entire time thinking about food, you know? And even though I've been in OA for 30-something years, you know, it's not the number of years. It's the quality of my life. It's the quality of working this program that has saved me. So my life, well, started out, I'm one of three children born to a West Indian family. So my mother and father was there my, you know, entire life. I was the middle child. And my mother loved my brother and sister, and I was left with my father. And my father actually was the alcoholic user and very violent nature. And it was really, really hard being with him, really hard. And very early, I'm starting off with this because I'm just building this relationship that I had with my family. And I managed to get out of doing anything social because I would just tell them I didn't feel good. But a lot of it was about, you know, just being in that environment. I never really knew. My mother also was a drinker, and she would black out. There was a lot going on, but they allowed me to, and I'm surprised at this, to stay at home while my brother and my sister were involved in tap dancing and my brother played the drums. And I think one of the ways that I proved to myself that I was worthwhile was being the only one that went to college. And I was happy for that. So I want to just move on to how the steps, working the steps, because step eight, after all, is one of the steps. And starting with looking at my entire time in program and why I even came, I did surrender to the idea in step one that I was an addict. And the way I did it was recognizing that an addict can just kind of be out of it. And I thought about, I'm from New York, the Bronx, New York, and I thought about the Bowery bums and how the bums would just kind of nod their head and, you know, and not be of this world. And one of the ways that I got to surrender to the first three steps, being one, powerless over food, and then my life being unmanageable, and then believing that there was a power that could relieve me, and then asking for that. So one of the reasons that I did is I said to myself, am I really an addict around food? Am I like, you know, do I nod out like that? And, you know, I had to answer yes, because when I was in the food, I really didn't recognize anything around me. I mean, it was really so odd. I'd go to the movies. I'd go to the movies just for the food. And if someone asked me, well, what was the movie about? You know, I couldn't tell them. I was just that much involved in the food. My life was just centered around it. And maybe that's the reason that God has helped me so much now. So I got down steps one, two, and three. And the other way, as I've, continued on in the program, I've picked up little sayings that has really helped me. And so as I move into steps four, five, and six, I can think about each day what I have to do to stay recovered in this program. So I have this little thing, four concepts. One is reading, write, pray, and call. So read, write, pray, and call. And that's what I have to remember every day. Read something out of the book, usually the big book, or one of our readers. Pray. I have to pray and ask God every day to help me. Write. And of course, we write on the steps. And then call. And when I do that, I'm a different person. That feeling of being obsessed is lifted. And so I'm going to move on to step eight again, because I really did not have very many relationships other than the food. And, that was my friend, my lover. I mean, it was just all that I had. And it's really kind of sad to say, but I certainly have OA and these recovery programs to change the person that I was when I came in here. That's the main goal of recovery, as I understand it. We have to change the person who we are. Otherwise, we'll just stay succumbed to, being an addict. So I wanted to share with you some of the questions of step eight and my responses to them, because it seems to me that it's just really amazing that I'm at this stage of my development, and I'm really happy for it, because I could stay in steps one, two, and three for another 20-something years, you know? But this gave me the opportunity to move on. It really did. And so one of the questions is, what emotional harm have I done to myself? And I have down here, I've been a compulsive thinker, a negative thinker. I've suffered from acute and chronic depression. I'm a worrier, and I'm self-absorbed. So this was some of the things that I've done to myself. What kinds of harms have you done to others? What personality traits have injured you and disturbed others? And I have for my answer here is
5 minutes left.
Okay.
Thunder.
I've not kept in touch with people. I've abandoned them. I've walked away without saying goodbye. I've acted like I don't exist anymore, like they don't exist anymore. I didn't think about our relationship. I didn't think our relationship was very important. And finally, the personality traits that injured me and disturbed others is compulsive eating, weight gain, low self-esteem, lack of confidence, lack of interest, isolation. So, you know, this really, and finally, this is a more of a graphic kind of ending, but it's asked to write a list, a long list of people who have been affected by my behavior. As well as the negative, you know, my negativity. And so I came up with 49 people on my list over the years. And I know, and I'm sure it's more than 49, but that's what I remember. And 19 of them were negative behavior, and the other 30 was positive. And then, you know, as I looked over, I keep looking over this list, and it switches back and forward from negative the positive. But I am really grateful that I have gotten this far. None of this is something that I can do one day and it's done. For today, I'm free of the food and this unmanageable relationships with people is a connection to the food, really. And so I have to be very careful around people because I want to make sure that I understand them, that I understand myself, that, you know, that I put myself first on the amends list and people around me. These people have certain character defects that I've harmed. Like say, for instance, my daughter, you know, I know that I have to be sensitive to her because she's, you know, she can get very emotional and it'd be hard for me to talk to her. So, and I found that this is one way that I can engage in a conversation with her to be sensitive. So this is, it's really amazing to be here today and talk about this. I've never talked on such a deep level about my life as I have today. And I really thank you all for asking me to speak and being there. Thank you, Wendy, for asking me to speak.